like your outline for this morning's message. And as you're doing that, I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 72. We're looking at five words that can bring change and health and healing to a marriage, as well as to a family. Now, in and of themselves, there's nothing special about these, or magical about these words. But it's what these words convey through Scripture, and how we relate to what they teach us through Scripture, and how we relate to God, and how we relate to one another. And so the word for today is honor. Honor. And certainly in the initial context we're looking at this morning is to honor our parents. So I want to take you, if you will, to the top 10, not words, but top 10 commandments, okay? Exodus chapter 20, because that's where we find that commandment to honor our parents. Exodus chapter 20, the 10 commandments. You probably remember them from Sunday school days or vacation Bible school days or maybe Good News Club days. Beginning at chapter 20 of Exodus in verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then the first of the ten, the big ten, you shall not have other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And he goes on to explain why, because he is a jealous God. So we're not to have idols. We're not to have anything in the likeness or the image of God. And then number three, there in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain, for the Lord will not uphold his guiltless who takes his name in vain. And then number four, and we see that the first four of the Ten Commandments are all about a relationship with God. And how important that is, that God sees that relationship that you and I can have with him and enjoy every day. Here, number 4 in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That one day is set apart, indeed a week of work, but then there's at least one day. And that doesn't mean in any sense of the word that there's only one day that we worship the Lord. We worship throughout the week. But having that day that's set apart, like today, the first day of the week, Sunday. And some of us said, well, Bill, why? It says Sabbath, and the Sabbath was really Saturday. Because our Jewish friends, they worship the Lord on Saturday, don't they? And that's your Sabbath day. Well, what, did we scratch that out? No, not really. Do you know why we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday? What happened on the third day after the Lord rose? Well, he arose on the third day, and that third day was on Sunday. So every Sunday that you and I gather together with fellow believers and we rejoice, whether we celebrate the Lord's table like we did today, or we have a worship service where we praise him and worship him and we hear the word of God, we're doing it together because we're saying, Lord, this day we're setting aside because we remember or we rejoice in your resurrection, your finished work. And see, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ sealed that work and put that seal of God the Father on, finished, complete. Aren't you glad? Why, sure am. Okay, so we have, if you will, the Sabbath day. To have a day where we worship the Lord. But notice, if you will, number five. Right off the bat, when he's talking about our relationship with one another, the fifth commandment is in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God has given you. Wow. Above all the other remaining commandments, that's number five. In the first of the remaining six commandments that have to do with our relationship with one another, that's the first one. Our relationship with our parents, to honor them. You see how important that is to God, who created us and also created and established marriage and created families. We're talking about honor. Honor in marriage as well, and honor certainly in families. Here it says we're to honor our fathers and our mothers. I know some of you say, well, you know, most of the kids are over there that really should hear this in junior church. Well, let me ask you, how many here are children? Raise your hand.
No.
Right, exactly. So it applies to all of us, no matter where you are chronologically in that journey, young or old alike, we're to honor our parents, aren't we? Why? Because God says so. God instructs us to. God commands us to. So there in your outline before you as we take a look. Of course, it's repeated again in Deuteronomy. And so a little more expanded there. It says in there in your paper, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long. Boy, I like that, don't you? Huh? And that, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Well, you might say, well, Bill, that's all Old Testament. No, not really. Not only in the Old Testament, but we see it repeated by the Lord in the gospel records too, there in Matthew and Mark. But we also see it repeated by the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit to write God's word. And so take a look at your outline before you. Also have Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so it's not just an Old Testament commandment. It's a commandment that is throughout Scripture. For every one of us as a child, to honor our parents. Now you may be saying, Bill, my parents aren't here anymore. My parents are in heaven. My parents passed away. We'll get to that point as well. But you'll agree with me, we're all children, and we all have parents. Okay? Honor. It's interesting. The word honor in the Old Testament is from the word kaved, which means to make heavy or to give weight to esteem highly is a thought there. And so it's the same word that we give honor to the Lord God, our Creator. We give honor to the Lord God that has redeemed us. We esteem Him. We give Him honor. And we're to give honor to our parents. But also in the New Testament we have the word timao, which means to make heavy or to give to place value on someone or something. It's a universal command for every one of us. Not just Christians, but it's a universal command to even unbelievers in Christ, non-Christians, to honor their parents. This is God's plan. This is God's command. We have, from a biblical perspective in your outline there, what does it mean to honor our parents? What does that look like? Well, for one thing, in placing great value on your relationship with them, because God sovereignly made them your parents, put you in that family, put you in that relationship with those parents, whether it be a biological relationship, whether it be through adoption, whatever, what God has sovereignly planned for you. And so, placing great value on your relationship with them. Number two, seeking to improve and adjust the relationship as you grow. Like Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I acted as a child. But now I'm all grown up, and so I'm not going to act like a child. Well, that happens in a parent-child relationship too. It's sad when you see adult children, and they're acting like adults in the rest of the world, okay? And they're at work or wherever. But when they get home, when they're visiting their parents, they just act like a child all over again. And they begin to complain and everything else. It's just like they used to when they were truly a child. We have to adjust in that relationship of how we express that honor. And recognizing that our parents now have needs, that God wants us to help and be a part of that caring and meeting of those needs. That's what that point means here, if you will. Let's go on. A biblical perspective of what it means in honoring our parents looks like this. It's seeking to, in number three, giving recognition that they have done some things right. They really have. I know sometimes I have children growing up in an abusive situation. And we'll get to that more clearly later on. But they must have done something right. No parent is perfect. You know what every parent wants to hear? Later on in life, when their sons and daughters come and say, you know, I gave you a hard time when I was a teenager. And some of the things that you wanted me to do or told me to do, I really didn't agree with you. And it really rubbed me the wrong way. But you know, I realized that those things that you were telling me to do, they were the right things. And I had to obey you. I had to honor you. I know you made some mistakes. But I also know that with all of that, you love me. You love me. I believe every parent wants to hear that someday. No, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But we love you. Amen? Yeah. Let's go on. Acknowledging the sacrifices. They do make sacrifices. Parents do, and they have made sacrifices for us. Number five, seeing them as Jesus sees them. With what? With compassion and mercy. Again, parents aren't perfect, but do you see your mom? Do you see your dad? Or did you see them with compassion and mercy? A sinner is just like the rest of us that need to be forgiven. Amen? Number six, forgiving them, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And number seven, caring for them as their circumstances change and as their needs require. You see, it's that important that we honor our parents. It's important to God, and therefore, if it's important to God, our Heavenly Father, it should be important to us. Would you say that so? If you're already in Exodus, I hope you didn't close that, but if you turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll take a look at chapter 21. It's on page 72 if you're using the Pew Bible. Take a look at verses in chapter 21, verse 15. Follow with me as I read verse 15. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to what? To death. Wow, is that important to honor our parents? Take a look at verse 17. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. And what the Lord is saying, when you dishonor your parents, when you dishonor your mom and dad, God will hold us accountable for it. I'm so glad that we live in the age of grace. Otherwise, we'd be seeing piles of stone here, piles of stone there, and with Bill's name on it over there, and Rob's name over there. That's my brother, myself, okay? You get the point. You know? Parents, together with, if you will, the elders of the church are going to gather stones and all of them stone that child that dishonored the parent. But what I'm getting at, God places such a great value and importance for us as children to honor our parents. It's that important to God. It should be that important to us. Amen? Let's go on, if you will. It's the first commandment with a promise, and Paul reminds us of that. That it is one with so that it may go well with you. There in Ephesians chapter 6. That it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. God will reward the children that honor their parents. Some of you may be thinking, well, that's a pretty cheesy way of obeying God just so I get something in return. But you know, when we obey God, we are blessed. When we disobey God, we lose those blessings. So it's not with the wrong, cheesy motivation that, well, I'm going to do this because I really want to live well and I want to live long. No, God made the promise. You see, God made the deal. And so he says, if you honor your parents, there are consequences, positive blessings, that will come into your life. And take a look, if you will, general blessing of faith that you have there, general principle of faith. Obedience to God brings blessings, and disobedience to God brings chastisement and loss of blessings. That's a universal principle throughout the Word of God. It's a principle of faith. Blessings bestowed for honor bestowed, both in quality and quantity, that it may be well with you. The quality of life. What does he mean there? Good health? Prosperity? He doesn't really say specifically, does he? But he does promise that it will go well with us. Now that may be in the area of health. But I do know one thing. When God says, if you do this, Bill, honor your parents, this is going to be the consequences. Positive blessings. Obedience brings blessings. Rebellion, always. Rebellion in the family, rebellion no matter where it is, it brings consequences. It brings loss and shame. I know that when there's disharmony in the home and in the marriage, prayers are hindered. So when we honor our parents, and we're honoring God by obeying Him in that, our prayers are not hindered. Also, the spiritual and physical blessings, positive consequences of obedience. There's a model, too, that happens. You see, we're going to speak to this in a little bit, but when it goes well with you and me as we honor our parents, those blessings are passed upon the second, third, fourth generation. The Lord repeats this a number of times in the Old Testament. When His people were faithful and obeying Him, He would bless not only that generation, but the successive generations. How does that happen? Well, this is how it happens. Is when children grow up in a family and they see their parents as children honoring their parents, they see an example. They see a model. They see obedience. Instead of disobedience. Instead of dishonor and disrespect. So when he says, honor your mother and father that it may go well with you and live long on the land. Talking both about quality and quantity. There's a legacy that you and I pass on to successive generations. Would you say that there's growing honor and respect in the schools today? If you say yes, would you raise your hand? No. I think we all agree. I know we all have our favorite stories when we were growing up, you know? Okay, keep those stories. Share them with the kids now and then. But you know what? That loss of honor and respect for authority outside the home, it began in the home first. It began in the home first. Children who have a failure to honor others outside the home and respect them, they don't have honor and respect in the home either. That's the foundation. That's why some sociologists, Christian or unchristian, have said, you know something? When there's a lack of respect and a lack of honor, the fabric of society begins to fall apart. That's what's happening today. Where does it begin? Your home and my home. Your family and my family. Honor your mother and father. Let it may go well with you, and your days may be long on the earth. God gives a principle to be obeyed. Commandment to be followed over the promise. We have a couple of examples in the Old Testament. I think of Eli, who was a prophet priest, and how he didn't train his sons. And they had disrespect for him, and they also had disrespect for God. And they were judged because of that. I think of Samuel growing up in an environment like that where he saw Eli and Hophni dishonoring their father and dishonoring God. So his sons did the same thing. In fact, when it came to replacing Samuel, the Israelites made it very clear. They said, you know, we don't want your sons. Ah, boy, what an arrow that pierced the father's heart. But Samuel understood and he knew that his sons were dishonoring him and also dishonoring God. Because he himself had seen the same example in the family that he grew up in. You see the pattern? It could be a pattern for righteousness, and it could be a pattern for unrighteousness. David and Absalom. Even though it says in the Word of God that David was a man after God's own heart, and says that both in the Old and New Testament. And we see that in the book of Psalms that David wrote. But David had a dysfunctional family, because no family is perfect. And all of us have certain levels of dysfunction, but how do we deal with that dysfunction? David dealt with it wrongly, with his sons, especially with Absalom. And Absalom rebelled and dishonored his father. You see, the legacy of life that honors parents is a generational blessing, second, third generation. Again, a lack of training and discipline in the home encourages a lack of honor to the parents. Let's go on in your outline. Before you're honoring the Lord, makes it easy to honor others. When we obey Him, we find it much easier to obey our parents. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Those who honor me, the Lord says, I will honor, but those who despise me, I will disdain. Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will what? Honor me. Malachi chapter 2 and chapter 3, honoring the Lord in our giving. John chapter 5, honoring the Lord in our worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, honoring the Lord with our bodies. Now the immediate context of that, of course, is sexual immorality. That's not honoring to the Lord with our bodies. Also, in the broader aspect, if you will, of honoring the Lord with our bodies, it means also being addicted to drugs or whatever it might be, drunkenness, or any such evil debauchery, that we misuse and abuse our bodies. We're not honoring the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, honoring the Lord in our prayers. Revelation chapter 4, honoring the Lord in our worship and submission to Him. We could go on. There are many, many other passages in the Word of God. Of course, it talks about honoring the Lord our God. And when we honor God, we find it much easier to honor our parents. In honor and obedience to God, He gives grace to honor our parents and others. Sometimes you might say, well, I just don't feel like it. I'll be honest with you. When I was growing up, there were times when I dishonored my parents. Did you too dishonor your parents? Especially when I was just starting my teen years. They were glad I joined the Navy. They even had to sign me, and I was so young. Oh yeah, I'll sign in. I love them, and I thank the Lord for them. And afterwards, I told my dad and my mom, I thank you that you were hard on me, that you disciplined me. Forgive me, for I have dishonored you many times. Sometimes we use that as an excuse. Well, what if I don't feel like it? We do a lot of things we don't feel like, don't we? Pay taxes? Read the Bible? Sometimes we don't feel like it. How do you do it? Go to work? Is there every day you go to work and say, oh, great, another day at work, huh? Awesome! No, sometimes you don't feel like going to work, but you what? You go. You see, that's not an excuse for not honoring our parents. Just because we don't feel like it. Do it anyway. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to get beyond, we got to get past the past hurts and everything else. That you're only remembering those things from your parents. And ask God to remind you of their sacrifices. Their counsel. Yes, when they did intervene in a behavior problem in your life with discipline. But I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Why? Because you're honoring God. That's where it begins, with a heart that wants to honor God first, and then honor your parents. Daily Bread had a story many years ago. There was a gentleman whose his wife had passed away, and all he had was a surviving son. His son was already married, and he knew that eventually he was going to give them the full inheritance of the farm and everything else. And so he asked his son and his daughter-in-law, you know, eventually you'll have all of this, and I'm finding it really difficult to take care of the farm and do the housework. I want to give you all the inheritance now, and if you'll move and stay with me until I go home to the Lord. They had a discussion, husband and wife together, and they said, okay, we'll do that. And so for a number of years, it worked out real well until all the inheritance was spent. And the daughter-in-law spoke to her husband. She said, you know, that dad of yours is really getting on my nerves. I think, you know, for his benefit, we need to put him in a home. But there was some reluctance, but the son gave in to his wife. And so as the story goes, the son was walking the father down the long lane to the state home. The father, being as old as he was, found it difficult in walking and said, can I just sit down for a minute and rest? Sure, Dad. Father sat down there and he was just sobbing. So the son sat next to him and he said, well, Dad, it's going to be all right. Don't you understand? This is best for you. He said, son, I'm not sobbing. I'm not sobbing because I'm going to the state home. But I remember. I remember 40 years ago, I walked out the same lane with my dad when I put him in the state home. When we don't feel like it, but we do it. Because we honor God, and therefore we obey God, not our parents. We need that legacy, brothers and sisters. We really need that legacy to pass on to the next generation. Because the world that we live in right now is not teaching you that. Another excuse is when they don't receive it or won't receive it. She won't listen to me. He won't listen to me. I'm sure that's probably what the prodigal son thought in his life. Remember when the prodigal son said, Dad, give me my part of the inheritance right now. In essence, what he's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. But the father gave him his part of the inheritance, and the older brother stayed with the dad. Of course, you know the story. The prodigal son went into a distant area. He started feeding the pigs, and then eventually he started eating with the pigs. And it came to his senses. It says he came to himself. And he confessed, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my father. I'll return to my father's household, and I'll offer myself to be his servant. Still quite a ways away from the household there that he left. The father was looking out there and he saw him on the horizon. Something that was so contrary to culture. He lifted up, if you will, his robe up above his ankle, and he began to run to his son. In that culture, that didn't happen. And he embraced his son because he was waiting for his son's return. If you're staying back from honoring your parents right now and say they won't listen to me, maybe they will. Maybe they will. But you know something? Even if they hang that phone up, close that door, you still honor God by making that attempt. Even if they won't listen, maybe it'll be like that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, and the embrace is there, and the kiss, the reunion, reconciliation. Another excuse, when we think they don't deserve it. Maybe you did, and I know there are many persons who have grown up in an abusive situation, and something is very painful. But the more you and I focus on those things that are painful, that are hurtful, we will perpetuate that hurt, that pain. Seek to remember when the sacrifices were made for you. Seek to remember when the good things happened. No, they weren't perfect as parents, but they were the parents that God gave you. I don't mean if that was an abusive situation that you expose yourself to further abuse. I don't mean that at all. But there does need to be that attempt by sons and daughters, by children, to go back to mom and dad and say, you know something? I need you to forgive me. Be honest. Let me give you a couple points. If you want to take this step in honoring your parents today, and even if your parents are deceased, would you do this? I want you to write a note to your parents. If they're alive, make sure you deliver the note. But even if they're deceased, I want you to write a note. Be honest when you write that note of giving them honor and respect. Be honest. Don't write what you don't mean. Number two, be positive. Focus on what was good. Focus on the sacrifices. Focus on the good things that happened. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, think on these things that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. Think on those things when you write that note, when you think about your parents. Number three, be public. If you're writing that note to your parent and you want to express that respect and honor and love to them, be public about it. Share that with your spouse. Share that with your children. Let them know that right now you're being decisive and you want to honor your parents. That's the last one. Be decisive. Do it now. Determined to do it today. One son took up that challenge one time, and he wrote a note to his mom and dad, thanking them for how they raised him. And saying, Mom and Dad, I gave you a hard time, but I know that you did your best. And I know through all of that you loved me. He was honest. He was positive. You know what that mother did? She took that letter and she framed it. She framed it and put it right next to the picture of her and her husband. Did it mean that much? You better believe it did. Yeah. Would you do that today? You say, well, but my parents have passed away. Write the letter. Be honest. Be positive. Be open about it. Tell your spouse what you're doing. Tell your children what you're doing, because you're developing a legacy of honoring your parents that by the grace of God will be incorporated in their life and in the children's lives. Do it for your grandkids' lives. If your parents are deceased, write that letter, put it in an envelope, and put it in a place where you store all the important papers. Address it. You don't have to open it. You know what you wrote. But put it in place of important papers, because it's that important that you and I honor our parents. Amen?
Amen.
There, if you will, on your sheet before you, personal application, just four, very quickly. Honoring parents and others begins with honoring the Lord. That's where it begins. Are there areas in your life where you can improve your honoring of Him? Number two, are you dishonoring your parents? If you are, you need to ask the Lord and them for forgiveness today. Number three, as a parent, how can you help your children to honor you? That's the other side of the formula too, isn't it? When parents don't love and train and raise up their children nurturing the admonition of the Lord, that's dishonoring to the Lord. And that's dishonoring to the children. As a parent, you can help your children to honor you. Maybe it begins with forgiving them. If you haven't been raised in a family where honor was, if you've been raised in a family where honor was absent, make that commitment to the Lord that it will start today and continue with your family for His glory. If you're a parent today, I want to recommend this book here. If you're a grandparent, I want to recommend this book. We used to have some copies out there, and I know they were picked up. But you have the title of the book on the bottom of your sheet. It's by Paul David Tripp. It's Parenting, the Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. If you have children that have a family, why don't you purchase the book? Now, we're not selling them here, but you can go online, you can go to the bookstore and pick it up. The title you have right there on your paper before you, why don't you pick them up and give them a copy for Christmas? Well, Valentine's Day. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your commands and instructions in your word, that we would understand the ways that are pleasing to you and are beneficial and blessings to others, especially to our parents. Lord, help us by your grace, by your strength. Help us to honor our parents. Help us to do it with joy, with honesty. Help us to honor you in all of that. And Lord, where forgiveness is sought and where forgiveness is given, we pray, Father, for your grace to abound, that there would be those steps of reconciliation. Lord, we pray for your blessings. In this issue of giving honor to our parents, may you bring blessings of that to the second and third and fourth generations. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.